And take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, things come up in life, a lot of them, and they can get you so your head's like it's on popcorn sometime, is how I express it. If that makes any sense to you. With all that goes on in the world and in our lives, we can go to God. He's our sufficiency in all things. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before the time of the ages. How are we saved? We confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9. Look at Romans 5. What are we saved from? Romans 5. What are we saved from? Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. That's what we're saved from. From sin that reigns over our lives unto death. And what are we saved for? Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What are we saved from? Look at verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved from the wrath to come. That will come on all the ungodly. But we've been saved from sin and death, and we're saved from the wrath of God. What are we saved for? Everlasting life. Look at 1 John chapter 3. By the way, tonight we're going to do a course on thankfulness. Thankfulness. What do we have to be thankful for? God's called us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. We're saved from sin and death. We're saved from the wrath of God. What are we saved for? Everlasting life. What are we now? 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And we are. The Greek text add, therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the what? The sons of God. Not when you die, not at the judgment, right now, today. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what are we? We're the sons of God. If you'll go to Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at that. children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. So we're born again of incorruptible seed. The first birth in our natural birth was corruptible seed. It ends in death. But as children of God, we're born of incorruptible seed. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom also, speaking of Christ, you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In Christ, after we believed, we were what? We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at chapter 4. We were sealed for the inheritance. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed. That settles it. We're born again of incorruptible seed. Now we're the children of God. What do we have to be thankful for? You cannot lose that birth. It's incorruptible seed. It's the everlasting life. We've been delivered from sin and death and the wrath of God. We know our end. We're sealed for the day of redemption. What's the proof? The proof is that we can speak in tongues. The Spirit itself bears witness with our inner being that we're the children of God, spirit to spirit. To what did God call us? Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What did God call us to? His kingdom and glory. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. We're called to his kingdom and glory. We're called to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Stuff comes up. Nights like tonight. Things happen. They don't always happen for a blessing. But with all of this, we know that we are saved, we are begotten from above, we're saved from sin and death, we're saved from the wrath of God, we're saved for everlasting life, now we're the children of God, we're born of incorruptible seed and sealed for the day of redemption, and we have the proof we can speak in tongues. What do we have as children of God today? Look at Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What do we have as children of God? We're justified. It's been done. And freely by his grace. We've been redeemed in Christ. In verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Look at that. We have the remission of sins. Look in 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access into this grace in which we stand. We have access by the Spirit that we received in the new birth to God as our Father now. Look in verse 11. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what? Hope of the glory of God. And this is all set to our account by his grace. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement means reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God. What do we have to be thankful for? Look at 8:1. 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of the verse is not in any of the critical Greek texts, so you can scratch it. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at that. We have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's eternal life. That's Spirit life. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at verse 29 or 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He determined these things ahead of time. And this is what he determined, for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Look at that. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How? With his Son, in Christ. Look at that. Who shall lay anything, speaking of legal charges, to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? Question mark? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. It's no. Just in case you didn't know. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? Christ that died? Yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? No, he doesn't condemn us. There's no more condemnation. We will never again come into condemnation, he said in John 5. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Have you had some of that this week? Well, it can't separate us from the love of Christ. as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter? Question mark. Answer. Verse 37. Nay. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do we have to be thankful for? Oh my goodness. We may go through mental pressures, distress. We may be backed into a corner. We may feel like the sword has been lifted against us or something. But we don't have to worry. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No distress, no persecution, no lack of needs, famine, nakedness, no dangerous situation, peril, or even the sword by cutting words or death itself. Nothing can separate us. We have so much to be thankful for. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Things may not go right in life, but whether they do or they don't, we still can be thankful for all that God has blessed us with in Christ Jesus. Look in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be, or blessed is, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Not a one of them was overlooked. According as he hath chosen us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, period. In love, having predestinated us, in other words, determined ahead of time, for us to have sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. You don't have to work your way into his presence to get your prayers answered. You're accepted in Christ. And now you're highly favored in him. In whom? Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us, period. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What's the standard? According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We have so much to be thankful for, and it's so different from what the world thinks of God. He's not up there with a big hammer waiting to hit you over the head. It's the good pleasure of his will that's been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, having been determined ahead of time, according to the purpose of him, God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's you and me. That's what's going to occur on the day of redemption. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Look at chapter 2, or go down to 1. 1, let's see, 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in most of us. Nope. Who fills all in all. All that Christ accomplished is in all of us. None of us missed out on anything. It's every spiritual blessing in all of us. Boy, we could read the whole book. It's just blessing after blessing. What do we have to be thankful for? Oh, so much. So very much. Look at 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive together with Christ. And that's by the Spirit. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. It's the kindness of a father to his children. It's loving kindness and tender mercies, not just today, not just the rest of our earthly life, but forever and ever. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and the word unto is the Greek word epi. It means upon, upon, or on the basis of. It indicates cause or the basis of. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus on the basis of good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's in Christ Jesus' accomplished works that we're to walk in. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having how much hope? None. No hope. And without God in the world. That was our former condition. Israel had a covenant relationship with God. We had none. But, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our what? Peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In the temple, there was a wall around the temple, and it separated the court of the Gentiles from the holiest of all, the holy place, and the court of Israel. And for a Gentile to go beyond that balustrade, that wall about a foot and a half, 2 feet high, was certain death. It was guarded by temple guards. Look what the scriptures say here. He is our peace, Christ Jesus, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, Christ was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes regarding him. For to make, and the word make is the same word as create in verse 10. For to create in himself of the twain, the two, one new man, so making peace. Jew and Gentile are now one new man in Christ. So there's peace. And that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached what? Peace to you which were far off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, which were the Judeans. For through him, Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at that. Access by one Spirit unto the Father. 19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God, a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Look at that. What do we have to be thankful for? Not just one or two things. So many things. So many. Chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And dispensation is oikonomia. It means an administration of a house. If you've heard of the administration of the grace of God, that's the time in which we live, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. We just read them in chapters 1 and 2. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Was it known in the Gospels? Nope. Was it known under the law administration with Moses? Nope. Was it known by Abraham? Nope. How about Noah? Nope. How about Adam? Nope. In other ages, it was not made known to the sons of men, and yet he's revealed it to us. Here it is, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery of God's will. Now we're one new man in Christ. Now we both have access to God as our Father by the Spirit. Now we have a standing in Christ as members of his body. Now we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of what? His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Why? That I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, and to make all see, verse 9, What is the fellowship of the mystery? Where did I skip? Verse 8. Go to verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The word fellowship is oikonomia, the same as dispensation in verse 2. It should be translated administration. And what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things? Then a period goes there, and the next three words are not in any of the critical Greek texts. Just scratch them. So the administration of the grace of God in verse 2 is described as the administration of the mystery in verse 9. In chapter 3, verse 10, and I want to read 10 and 11 from the Working Translation to you. And it says, so that through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God could now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. Verse 11, in accordance with the purpose of the ages. The word purpose is prothesis, means purpose. In accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he, God, accomplished. The word accomplished is poieo, P-O-I-E, long O. And it can be translated accomplished, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Read 11 one more time. In accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing more to do. It has all been accomplished by Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the Father has freely given us all things with him. It just blows my mind. You want to talk about the administration of the grace of God? There it is. God has freely given us all things with his Son. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's all in all of us. It's just fantastic. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Look at verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What do we have to be thankful for? Are you getting the drift? It doesn't matter what we have to endure, what we go through day by day, whether we're healthy, whether we're sick. It doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is what God did in Christ. And we have an eternal relationship with God as our Father. And a standing in Christ before him. Look over at Colossians. Look at a couple verses over here. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, means adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath translated us from the power of darkness and hath translated or transferred. The word is M-E-T-H, I-S-T-E-M-I. Methistemi, long E, the last E is long. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transferred us into the kingdom of his dear or beloved Son. It's translated both ways. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Look at 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is made manifest to his saints now, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The words Godhead bodily ought to be divine nature bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. We're what? Complete in him. We're completely filled. It's pleroo. Completely filled in Christ. And he's the head of all principality and power. How completely filled are we? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. The Father freely gives us all things with his Son. It's all in all of us. We're complete in him. That's right. What's our hope in Christ? What will be our end? Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Well, if I get that. I need to stay in the right book here. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, Old English for precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump or trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our hope. Our hope is to be of comfort to us. Our hope is of fullness of joy. It's of rest. It's of life. It's of glory. And the exceeding riches of his grace to us in kindness. Remember Ephesians 2:7? That's our hope. That's our end. Look at Philippians 3. What do we have to be thankful for? Hey, whether we died at 2 years of age or whether we died at 102 makes no difference. We've got everlasting life. And furthermore, it says in 3:20 of Philippians. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, the word is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. It's a vile body because it's going to corrupt. It's going to die if the Lord tarries. Shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his, Christ, glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to have bodies like who? Like Christ. See, we ought to have an attitude just filled with thankfulness. What do we have to be thankful for? Every child in the household of God is in Christ. and we're acceptable to God our Father. We're dearly beloved and highly favored in His sight. We're justified. We're washed. We're righteous. We're sanctified. We're redeemed and reconciled. We have the remission and forgiveness of our sins. We were healed by His stripes. We have access to the Father by the gift of Holy Spirit. And that allows us to have confidence in God when we pray. You can read 1 John 5:14 and 15 later. We can have confidence in God that He will not only hear our prayers, but answer them. We have the gift of Holy Spirit, and we have 9 manifestations of the Spirit given us for godly profit. We're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. We're holy and without blemish before the Father. We're unimpeachable in His sight. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're members of the body of Christ. And in Christ, we're being built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we will obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be transformed to have bodies like His glorious body that dies no more. And we'll live forevermore in new heavens and a new earth. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Take a look at, that's 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, should read the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God was with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. We're going to partake of all of that. And why did God do all of this for us in Christ? By His grace? Why did He highly favor us? Because we're dearly beloved. For His great love wherewith He loved us. That's why He did it. That's just some of what we have to be thankful for as dearly beloved of God. So when you're having those pressures of life, or you're backed in a corner, or your finances are short, or your health is affected, think on these things and be thankful, because these cannot be changed, not a single one of them. They're yours in Christ, and Christ is God's. Father, thank You for Your goodness, for all of Your love and Your great grace. Thank You for hearing the prayers of Your people, for bringing them deliverance, for healing their bodies, for comforting them in their time of need, for supplying everything we need as You give us all sufficiency in all things so we can abound to every good work. Father, watch over them so they can cast their cares upon You because You care for them, and just help us, Father, to change our minds, to look to You and what You've brought in Christ Jesus. Thank You for Your great love, for Your goodness, and Your wonderful grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.